First item though, is what, where we came from.
You came from Germany.
Yeah.
My great, great grand.
In Germany? They traveled by ship?
Yeah, they traveled by ship in 1768. They was here before the, what you call the war between states?
Civil War?
Yeah.
Yeah. About 17, what was it?
About 1767, somewhere in there. Somewhere in there, close.
You know why they came over?
Because of, the Germans had all the people, all the young fellows go and serve in the military. They wanted to get away from the military.
So the Germans were having a war over there?
All they made all the young kids go to.
All of them to the military?
Yeah.
You know, what they did, like what kind of jobs is it they had?
Jobs they got in there was here?
Yeah.
Well, they was, they stopped off in New York. They, when they got the boat, they got to New York. And then, the one brother, there was four brothers that came together. And one brother stayed in New York. And my great-grandfather, he married an Indian and brought his wife from a tribe out there in New York for a pint of whiskey. And then my grandfather, that was my great-grandfather, then he moved out here on Exeter Road. They had a little log cabin on 40 acres of ground. They had enough money to buy that from the French settlers.
Yeah.
They paid, I think, $65 for the 40 acres. And I just forget what road first to tell you what road. And there was four brothers all together. One stayed in New York. And there was Jake, Charlie, and Frank Strumpel. They came here to Michigan. And Albert stayed in New York.
Yeah. All right. Our name, what was our name that we came over with?
Huh?
Our name over in Germany.
Over in Germany, our name was Stiefel.
Stiefel?
No. That's S-T-E-M, apostrophe F-U-L.
They changed it because they came over?
And when they came over here, and they didn't change the name until the First World War. And they didn't want to be, because it was hard on the Germans, you know.
Yeah.
And they changed their names, Frank, Jake, and Charlie, and Uncle Gus. They changed their names to Strumbull. All the Strumbulls in one row is related to you, about your fourth cousin. It was my second and third cousin.
Yeah.
Your fifth cousin. And my grandpa, he changed his name to Strumble. That's how we got the name of Strumble. And when they came over here, see, they was German.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to be Americans, so that's how they changed their name. They got to be American citizens that way.
So they sold. One of them moved to New York and the other state.
Albert stayed
to Michigan.
In New York.
Other
got to be a lawyer.
Yeah. You a lawyer?
Yeah. But I don't, I only seen him once in my lifetime. I was about 8 years old. I ain't seen any of them since.
You go. Well,
that's a long time ago.
And the rest moved to Michigan, or?
Yeah.
Just around Newport, or the Monroe area?
Monroe area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then my grandpa, great-grandpa, I remember my great-grandma, when she died, that she was buried there in St. Patrick's Cemetery, the old cemetery. And yeah, I was the only one of the whole family wanted to go and see my great-grandma.
Yeah. Your name?
Her name? No, I never know her name. All I know is Grandma. I was only 6 years old.
Yeah.
I had to go and see my grandma when she died. But I was the only one of the family that went with my dad. I had to beg my dad to take me. And my dad was born in that house where they bought from the French settlers.
In the cabin?
Log house. And then my dad, his dad rather, bought that 40 acres of land right there on Exeter Road. The first one from the first farmhouse from the St. Pat's Cemetery on Exeter Road. And that's where I was born, in that house.
So they were, what kind of religion did they come with?
They were Catholics.
Oh, yeah. So they went to St. Pat's?
I went to St. Pat's Church.
Sure.
And my dad helped to build the steeple on the St. Pat's Church. The wind that was way up in the air, and the wind blew it down, and it blew it right across the road. And that was, when I went to school there, that was a dirt road yet. And then they paved it when I was in the sixth grade. I was about 14 years old, and they paved that road. The Bull Road, they paved it. But Exeter Road wasn't paved yet. I was in the sixth, in the eighth grade when they stoned at Exeter Road. That was a mud road.
This was wagon going?
Yeah. When I was a kid, we didn't have a car until I was 12 years old. That was a 1929 car. That's the first car I ever drove. And I drove all these years without a ticket yet.
12 years old you started?
Yeah.
Did they have any rules or anything about driving?
Well, I knew it had to be 14 years old.
Oh, 14. And you were 12, I think. I'm supposed to tell anybody. So your dad had how many brothers or sons and daughters?
I had 10 of us all together. My first sister, I never seen her at all. She died. That was Catherine.
Yeah.
She died at birth. She died at that lecture period. That break was going around at the time. And then, through her life, they had the smallpox, they had the flu, and I was the only one in the family that didn't come down with the flu or the smallpox. And I was 6 years old when we had the flu. I was 7 years old when we had the smallpox. I had to do all the cooking, and I had 5 cows to milk and do the chores.
So you lived on the farm, had all the
animals? And I lived on the farm.
So all of your brothers and sisters have farms, or what?
My sister Rose was the oldest one when she was down with the flu.
Yeah.
My sister Alberta was 2 years older than I was. She was down with the flu and the smallpox. They had everything that came along, and I didn't have it.
So your mom's name was?
My mother's name was Lucy.
Lucy.
Her mother, she was a Wickenheiser.
A Wickenheiser.
And Wickenheiser, they come during over the First World War. And
you know from where?
They came from the Wickenheisers. I don't know where they came. They came from Germany, though. They were Germans.
The Germans.
Now they was Catholics too. But he didn't want his boys to go to war, so I don't know how he got it, they got his boys over here. He had 4 boys, and he brought them over here to to Michigan. And they bought a farm out there. They had $100 between them all, and they bought a farm, a 100-acre farm out there for the $100 over there by Schofield. I don't know who they bought it from, because I never asked them.
Mm-hmm. Your dad's name is?
Frank.
Frank.
Yeah. Her dad's name was Frank. And then there was Philip, and he was drafted in the First World War. I was 6 years old, and I remember him going to war. Everybody had to pray for him.
Yeah.
And got over there, he was they put him on as a German engineer, and he had to drive a train. The first day he was over there, they captured the train.
Yeah.
And they took, he was a prisoner all the while. Then he talked Germany, that he could talk German, they fed him pretty good.
So he got along with them?
Yeah, he got along with them good that way. Because he knew the language. And my mother and dad, they talked German. I could tell them what they said, but I couldn't talk it.
Mm-hmm.
It was never dropped into German.
Did they have any schooling or anything?
My dad had 4th grade education, and he was the clerk of Exeter Township for about 6 years or 8 years. I don't know about. Can't remember.
Was this a volunteer or stuff?
No, he got paid for it.
Paid for it.
And he was an insurance agent for the farmer's insurance. He was there for about 20 years. Insurance agency with a fourth grade education. I thought he did good.
And he had a farm too.
Yeah. Well, we did. Me and my sister did the farm.
You and your sister did the farm.
And then we got a milk route when I got to be 14 years old, and I hauled milk from the time I was 14 till I was 21, and I quit.
Did you deliver it on the trucks or what?
We had a Model T truck. First we started off with a Model T car and a trailer.
Yeah.
Then I got more customers. As we got more customers, we got a Model T truck.
Yeah.
And Victor Meinzer was a constabler over there at a Schofield. And that truck barked like everything. He stopped me all the time. I made too much noise. So I got tired of him stopping me, so I made myself a muffler for that outfit, and it was really quiet. And he pulled me up one day and stopped me. He said, "How's come you don't make that noise no more?" So I made a muffler for him. I said, "Ford Motor Company come out there and looked at that." And I said, "The car is nobody had any muffler." They come out there and looked at that. "And you made that muffler?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Gee, it runs quiet." Everybody asked me how I made it. It was easy to make.
So, did anybody else go in the army or?
My brother Steve went to the Second World War. He was served in the Second World War.
He went in the Army or Navy or?
Army.
Army.
And my brother, Paul, he went in the Navy, served 4 years there. And Steve, my brother Steve, he was 2 years in the Army under Patton. And then when the war was over, they kept him over there 4 years more to learn the Germans how to farm.
So he farmed over there?
Yeah.
Farm hall.
And my brother Paul, he was in the Navy.
Navy. So,
what did I do?
You did? Yeah, what did you do?
Well, I was had business of my own at that time, and I went to Ford Trade School. And when I went to Ford Trade School, they needed people over there to make the bomber plant. They told me if I went to the farmer plant and I could take my, keep my trade going, you know. All right, I went to the farmer plant and then the water was over. Then I went back to the trade school and they said they didn't give me no, I had no papers to prove that they would count that as my outfit. So I thought, well, I'll just go in business for myself.
Yeah.
So during a, what do you call that little war? What we had after the war?
Civil War?
No.
Vietnam?
That was over there in that old country there. I don't know, just forget.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we had another little war there. I just forget what the name of it is. Yeah, I just don't feel my name. See, I thought I could do the day.
That's it.
Anyhow, old Henry Ford come out there, and he says, how's it come? You didn't go to school anymore. I said, I told him what the deal was. Well, he says, I'll bring you a little sample here to make me some gears for tanks. So he brought a gear out there and I made it. Well, Henry said, you did all right. I said, I didn't know that he was, his sister was my next door neighbor.
Who's?
Mrs. Berman. That was Henry, not Henry Ford's wife's sister. He come to see his brother-in-law, you see. So, and I didn't know him. And my neighbor was there. He said, you know who that guy is? I said, no. He said, that's Henry Ford. I said, the car maker? He said, yeah. So I walked over to him. I says, my wife called me in for dinner. I live right next door. I says, would you like to eat dinner with me? He says, sure. He says, I'd like to eat dinner with you. So after dinner, he left a $20 bill underneath the plate. Then when I come in the house, my wife says, who was that guy at dinner with me? I said, that was Henry Ford. He said, the Henry Ford? I said, yeah. She said, well, he left a $20 bill underneath the plate. went out there and he said, that's the best home cooked meal he had in a long time. So he invited me back to his place where he lived, you know. Yeah. He took me all through the house. I was up to his mansion there.
Yeah.
Over the Dearborn there. He took me through the house and had a bone outfit alley down the basement. He took me through his boys' rooms. His boys wasn't there no more. But
yeah.
He took me through his boys' room and showed me his whole house where he needed the plant. He had to walk underneath the tunnel to the heating plant. Or it was really some place for it. So I went home and told my wife all about the house. She says, he didn't take you all through the house? I said, yeah, he took me through the whole house.
What was your wife's name?
Helen.
Helen, first wife?
Yeah. That was my first wife. She died of cancer in 66. She was 42 years old.
Did your brothers marry, all of them?
Yeah. She had three brothers and one sister. And her sister died. She was a nurse and the Second World War. She was over there in France. Served as a nurse, head nurse. And she died of cancer too. But she had cancer of the brain, so I don't know how she got it. But my wife had cancer of the prenatal trouble.
So where did you build your house, sir?
Oh, I built a house in New Boston, and I built my workshop there in Boston.
Workshop for what?
That's my building where I had sold implements and did business. Oh, that was a Korean War. I couldn't think of that war. That was a Korean War that I made tank parts for. And both for the B-24 propellers.
Were you involved in anything in the community?
Huh?
Over?
On new machinery? Yeah, I sold.
No, where did you, did anything in the community? Fire department or anything?
Yeah, I was. Well, I shouldn't say it, but. Yeah, well, my house caught a fire, let's put it that way. My house caught a fire, and the fire department come there. And stood there and investigating where the fire was. They chopped a hole right alongside the window in the side of the building and put the water hose in there and pumped 3 tanks full of water in that house. And I come home and I said, what is happening here? My wife says, they thought the whole house was a fire and they pumped water in it. I said, the ceiling fell down. Everything fell down. So I said, there he, that guy was axe happy. So I went over to the fire department and raised Cain. I said, I want that chief off the fire department. He said, right now. He said, they had a meeting. I said, right now. He said, what do you mean? I said, that guy is axe happy. I said, he chopped a hole in my house enough to drive a car in it. And argument. Well, who's going to play us? I said, I can do a better job than that. I said, I put out fires with guys at milk when the house was afire. And I said, I didn't belong to the fire department. I said, fire in the neighborhood, I'd go there and put the fire out. I said, I didn't care what happened. So, at that, I joined the fire department. I was a fireman. Then, guy come along, he brought me out. Traded the farm, give me so much money difference, and I took the farm, and out there had an old house, so I built another house. And meantime, I thought I could make a living farming on 60 acres. There was no way I could make a living on 60 acres and sent my kids to school, and high school, and to college, no way. So I went to Chrysler Corporation and worked there.
What'd you do there?
Well, that was a funny outfit, how it was. Oh, no, wait, before I went to Chrysler, see, I couldn't make a go of it, so I farmed, and Lee Stanton Company put an ad in the paper. They wanted a high-low driver. Well, I drove high-low in the Bunder plant. Why can't I drive it there? So I went there, and old man Leek was there. And he says, you know, anybody know anything about driving a high-low? I says, yeah, that's what I come here for. I thought I'd seen it in the paper. He says, you can drive a high-low? I says, yeah. He says, see that high-low there? He says, get out and move that lift over to the press. I jumped out, moved it over. He says, you've got a job. So I worked on that for quite a while. And one day, one of the press, 50-ton press, leg broke on it. And they called Weber the welding shop in Monroe. It was the only welding shop they had at Monroe at that time, on Red River. I did some work for them when I was in business myself because I welded and this and that.
Yeah.
He said, you got a good welder here. He said, yeah. He says, I ain't got a welder. He said, that guy there. Well, you mean the guy on the trailer over there in Lake City? Yeah, he says, he'll weld it for you. Old man Nick says, you can weld that? I said, oh, if he says so, I can. Well, he says, I got to have it welded. I need that press. I said, Mr. Weber, I said, no, you told me that I can weld it. Now I said, you know, I ain't got no welder here, and I ain't got no rods or nothing to weld that with, and you furnish the stuff and I'll weld it. He said, okay. So he brought stuff to that new and I welded. And I worked for old man Meek for about 2 years then. And I was a repairman then.
Yeah.
And the guy, his welder there, he said, that was my brother's father-in-law. He said, if Bob can weld that, I'd eat my hat. And Mr. Weber said, you better start eating your hat, because he's welding.
Did you get paid much or anything?
I got $2.50 an hour.
$2.50 an hour. What was about the cost of living?
No cost of living then. Didn't have to earn anything. That's before.
And then no union? No.
Then when getting slacked, an old man Luke says to me, he says, Monroe welding shop needs a welder. He says, why don't you go there and get the job? He says, because I got laid off. He says, you're a young guy, you only got 2 years, and I got guys here 6 and 7 years. He says, I can't pay them off. So he says, I tell you what. He says, I'll pay you till 4 o'clock, and you go over there at noon and get a job. So I went over there. He says, they're hiring welders. So I went over there. Here's the guy in the office. I knew him. He said, what you want, Bob? I just like that. He said to me, I said, I want that welding job. Ha, ha, ha. He says, go on home. Well, I said, I want that welding job. I said, you got to have it. I said, by that time, Mr. Hoover walked in. He said, did you hire me a welder yet? Well, he said, Bob says he can weld here, but I knew him. I don't think he can. So Hoover says, come with me. Have me weld 2 pieces of iron together. He takes a hacksaw and cuts them in two. He says, yes, you're a welder. They put me there and weld. And we was welding a tank brace for the tanks. And he said, well, you're doing a good job. So I sat around one day and the Indy Craig here. I went in the shop. I was caught up. I went in the shop and looked at him. Heard the job center was setting up a lathe. I didn't say nothing. He said, run the tank X. I looked at him. Run the tank X. Is that the way you run it? And old Hoover's come back. He said, you know anything about it? Yeah. I said, I can set that up for you. You can set it up? I said, yeah, I'll set it up for you. So I saw it up. Run one. He said, that's all there's to it? I said, that's all there's to it. I said, job center looked at me. He says, you belong to the union? I said, I guess so. I had to sign belong to the union when I come in here. I started to work.
Yeah.
So I said, that's where things went. So old man Hoover says, then we had a press at the Monroe Tool, and a tooth broke out of the press. And he says, gee, the Craig would need that press, Bob. He said, we sent for a new gear, and he said, we won't get it for a month. So we got an order if you're going to make it. Well, I said, why don't you have the welder weld a tooth in there? I said, it'll hold. I said, they get Red Johnson in there. And he said, you told Hoover you can weld a tooth in that gear? I said, yeah, it'll hold. No, he said, I won't try it. Well, I said, go and get the Stewart. If Stewart says I can do it. So Hoover come back there to me and he says, will you weld it and guarantee the hole? Well, I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll guarantee that tooth will hold. Oh, I got no job here. If I weld it, I said. Mm-hmm. If I don't weld it, I ain't no guarantee nothing. So he goes and gets the Stewart. The Stewart says, you guarantee it will hold. Oh, you ain't got no job here. He said, we're taking you up. So I got to weld it from the shop, got there and welded it in, and polished the tooth up so nobody know which one I put in.
Mm-hmm.
And Hoover come back. He says, how long did it take? I said, 3 hours. And he said, you guarantee it? Yes, sir. I said, there it is, ready to run. He said, did you try it? I said, no, I didn't try it. You're trying it. So Mr. Hoover put the piece in there. And he says, it worked. He says, well, he said, you're Here, the main tenants got the setup man, the main tenants, and the head brother. Old Rip Johnson didn't like it. He was under me. Okay, went along for about 2 years. And then Hoover come to me, and he says, they're laying off. And I said, what you mean they're laying off? He said, we're cutting down from 250 to 100 men. He says, you only got 2 years here, so. He says, tell you what, I'll pay you until 6 o'clock tonight, I'll let you. He says, you go to Chrysler and they're hiring. That was in 52. He says, Chrysler's hiring. He says, they want a good lathe operator. And he says, you go out in there, and if you need any reference, you tell them I sent you. I said, I went over there. So I went over there, and see, you need a lathe operator. Yeah, can you run the lathe? Yeah, I can run the lathe. So I went in, and they put me on the big 8, run the pilot hole in the back to hold the shift and stuff to it. That's all I had to do, was just one hole. So I went there and had a guy named Cowboy, that's what we called him. Yeah. And he said, there it is, help yourself, run the pilot hole. And I said, I was used to always setting up my own machine, so I went and set it up, found the pilot hole. Boss come along and checked it out. I said, the job said it come along, and he says, who set that up? I said, I did. He said, what do you think I'm here for? Just like that, he said. He said, you belong to the union? I said, yeah, I'm transferred here. So he didn't like it. And Cowboy says, come with me. He said, did you ever grind cranks? I said, never ground one in my life. He says, I'll take you over and show you what I want. And he said, if you think you can do it, you go ahead. So I ground cranks. Then we had a buddy at the He was the job center. I had Bodine went out. And he played with that all day and all of them. And then Jack Camilla came over and he said, you know anything about setting up a machine? I said, no. He said, you know anything about a Bodine? I said, no, I can set it up for you. And I said, before I have a monkey with it, you get the union and tell the union, tell me I can set it up. So the union come, he says, you got to show Wally Thurston how to set it up. I said, well, I don't show nobody how to set it up. I said, I'll set it up, but I don't show nobody. Yeah. So I went and set it up. He says, well, how long it take? I said, an hour. You can take an hour. He's been at 2 days and ain't got set up yet. There's nothing to it. So I set it up. Old Spears come on. He says, is it ready yet? I says, all ready. You go ahead and put the piece. He says, you need to try it? No. I said, you try it. You don't know if it fits. So he puts the piece in. And that's right. Well, that's just what we want. So they put me on job center for about 2 weeks. And that time, Union come by. He says, oh, they can't keep you on job center. We've got the guys older than you. Okay. So I went back on my own job. And then they had trouble with, they called it the woodpeckers. Woodpeckers. Jack Camilla come down to me again and again. He said they was in trouble. Wouldn't hold the side. Jack Camilla come down to me. He said, do you know anything about woodpeckers? Woodpeckers. Never seen one woodpecker yet. Went down there, looked them over. I come back. Jack Camilla says to me, what do you think about it? Well, I said, them ain't woodpeckers. Them is gun drills. He says, can you straighten them out? He says, yeah. So I went down there and checked them out. And I come back and told Jack, I says, oh, Jack, I says, if they let me grind the bits, I will straighten it out. But if they don't let me grind the bits, I can't hold them. I can't, those bits that they got is all said, what do you mean they're off? I said, the grinder don't know how to grind them. I said, tool maker don't know how to grind them. I said, what? I said, I can grind that bit myself, take it to the tool room, let me use it. And it will be a perfect hole. So, me and the tool, they took me over to the tool room, me and the steward and the tool man. They told me I didn't know nothing about tools.
So how many years did you work there?
I worked there 22 and a half years.
22 and a half.
And I worked myself up to quality control.
Yeah.
And as long as the plant manager was there, and then they got a new plant manager in, in 70.
Yeah.
And the plant manager took and put his nephew in, because I only had 8 year education.
Yeah.
And he put his nephew in with a college education, took my job, and I had 15,000 carburetors on hand, yep. And he come in and put the cards in, and the cards just show up. There was no stock there, he said. So he orders another 25,000. And old Perfect comes to me and says, how's come you left those carburetors getting down so low without ordering some more? I said, I had 15,000 when he took over. No. He said, he ordered another 25,000. I said, I figured that's what he's going to do. Well, he said, you got to learn how to run. I said, I don't have to. I said, I'll get to him and see if I have to. If I have to, I'll do it. But if I don't have to, I won't do it.
Yeah.
Because he took my job. I said, just give me my job back and I'll straighten it out.
Did you stop farming?
No. So then, he put me, in order to satisfy me, he put me on head leader on inspection. And that's where I spent 4 years as a head inspector.
When did you quit farming or whatever?
Oh, I quit farming when my wife died.
Your wife died?
66.
How many kids did you have?
I had 5. 3 boys, 2 girls.
So it was my dad.
Huh?
So it was my dad.
And Dominic, he had to go to war, the Korean War.
Yeah.
And he was Spec 5 in the Korean War. And when the war was over, he tried to get into the hospital, and they said no, they wouldn't take a nurse who was trained by the Army. He had to go to train.
Yeah.
So he went back and had a machine shop to Ford's. He stayed in California. California paid him for staying there because that's where he was drafted from. He was in the Army in California. And that's where he was drafted from. So then Michigan brought him back and fought back and forth. He just went into business with himself. He's still in business. He's got 3 gas stations in California today.
Yeah.
So he's doing all right.
And it was Don, or Don and Bob. It's Uncle Bob.
Uncle Bob, he's got a master's degree in teaching. That's it.
That's about it. There's my dad, and there's...
He worked for Schmidt.
Yeah.
He started to work, my dad started to work when he was 14 years old for Myers Greenhouse. He got 75 cents an hour. Then he went to that little paper mill on Telegraph Road, and they gave him 75 cents an hour. Then he went to Dundee Smith, needed operators, and he was going to college at the time, and Monroe Community College. And Dundee got hold of it. He knows how to work, so he went there. And he was more like a repairman,
yeah.
And take care of the furnaces and stuff like that. And he got $2.25 an hour to start. He worked himself up now. And he went to college, kept going to college at night.
Did everybody go to college, or?
Huh?
Did all your kids go to college, or something?
Well, Don went to college. My boys all graduated from college.
I'll graduate
with my daughters, I gave them a choice on my two daughters. If they go to college, I'll help to pay for it. But if they're going to get married, I ain't going to pay for it. So they told me they was going to get married, so that was them and her.
Yeah, now
at high school. But now they're both going to college.
That's Rosemary and Nancy.
Nancy's his first year in college, and Rosemary's her fourth year in college. I don't know what they're going to do. Rosemary works for Detroit Edison Company.
Edison.
She worked at the infirmary plant over here, and then she got transferred to Clarendon, like the Detroit Edison.
Did you ever, like, make something that was, invent something?
Huh?
Did you ever invent something? Or?
Well, I invented a lot of good things when I was young.
Anything worthwhile?
Well, first thing when I was young, I was 16 years old. I helped my uncle cut tree logs and helped him set up a sawmill. And I helped him all the time that I wasn't doing anything else. Like on Saturday or Sunday, we saw logs. And I helped them to build the barn there on the low road. I helped them build Louis Foreman's barn. And I'm like in my cousin's house, I helped to build. And that's where I learned how to do carpenter work.
So you build buildings, a lot of them?
Then after that, my uncle, I was laid off from Lee Stamping Company. Now that's in between. When I was laid off from Lee Stamping Company, I helped my uncle tile until I got another job, you know.
Yeah.
Until he told me where to go. He told me he'd give me off for 2 weeks for a pay, and then I had to go to... But when I went back, he told me that one of those tools was hired. But then when I worked for my uncle, I run the tile machine. And he made me lay the tile with a stick. Gee, that was hard work. That little 12-inch tile down the bottom, the trench and laying it. So I said, why don't you make a tile layer? He said, what do you know about tile layer? Well, I said, I don't have to down that trench all the time. Well, he says, what do you want? I said, I want 2 pieces of pipe, 20 foot long. So one day it was raining, we wouldn't do enough. He goes up to Navy, Hope Battles there, brings back 2 pieces of pipe. I laughed at him. Well, I says, what is the pipe going to do me? I said, we ain't got none to bend them. Then I was thinking, well, wait, you got a couple of pulleys out there in the barn, ain't you? He says, yeah, what you going to do with them? I said, bend them pipe with it. I said, we'll bolt them down, we'll make a pipe bender. He said, you going to make a pipe bender out of my wooden pulley? I said, yeah. I said, you hold it on one end, we'll bolt them down, and we'll keep it bending, make a nice big loop, and then we'll make it straight. And then I said, Jesus Christ, I forgot something. He said, what did you forget? I said, I've got to have an iron to put those 2 pieces of pipe together now. He said, what do you mean, iron to put that pipe together? I said, what's going to hold it from spreading if we don't have it? I said, I can blow them on the tile machine, you know. So, Uncle come over, Uncle Frank. He said, I got a blacksmith over there, and he says, we'll take it over there, and he says, we'll fix it up. So we went over there, and we drilled holes in the iron. He had some iron there, and we drilled holes in that, made it so, kind of rounded out, put it on, took it back. Next day, we tried it out, and there was one thing missing when we tried it out. Well, I said, my Uncle Frank, come over there, my Uncle Heine, both was there. They laughed. because I filled it full of tile, you know, and tile would come down the road. But the dirt would fall in, and then we had to take the tile back out, and take the dirt out.
Yeah.
Then my Uncle Frank says, "What, wait a minute." He said, "You take that out now, and I'll go home and make two big long shields about 4 foot long, and we'll put a chain on them and drag that along in the tile trench." And he said, "The dirt won't fall on it then." Mm-hmm. So he did. And put that in there. Well, it looks good. Everywhere in the country come, look at that tile there. And the first thing you know, they had a, and at me, I said, "Dumbhead like me didn't get no patent. He didn't get no patent." So everybody made a tile there. Today they just put wire in the trench. Well, then, while I was in business too, that was in my younger days. Then when I was in business, I went to New Boston there in 1940. Well, Peter Craig, I had that little old push mower.
Yeah.
Cut my grass. And I had about half acre of grass to cut. Gee, that was a lot of work. So I got an old gasoline engine, and the guy that was with me, he's dead now, but I don't know if he's still alive. But we put it on two bicycle wheels, made a frame, and put a blade on it, and this is a gasoline engine, put a belt on, made a pulley for it, put the pulley on the blade, and we start right up, went out there and cut grass and throw it about 10 feet high. Everywhere in the country come out there and looking at that. That's another.
Oh. So, Nani, what was it like during the Depression and whatever?
Well, during the Depression, that was before I was in business, before I went to work out. During Depression, that was something. You know, they said Rosenthal was the best president we ever had. He was in Depression. He gave people $2.50 an hour. I'm at $2.50 a day to work, to make ditches and clean up.
Yeah.
People would go there and lean on the shovel and everybody would laugh about it. But if they wouldn't work, he would give them a ration. Besides, if they'd work, they got a ration for the feed their family. But if they didn't work, he didn't get the $2.50 a day and he'd get no ration stamps. No. Only thing I didn't like about it, we had about 30 pigs. And I could never vote for Roosevelt on account of that. We had about 30 pigs. They come out there and they bought them pigs from my dad. I was 14 years old. About 16 years old. They come out there and bought them pigs off of my dad.
Yeah.
And what they do? They snorted them, went back in my dad's barn, dug a big hole, and buried them. And people was hungry. I said, "Gee, because at least they could have given that to those workers. They've been picked to the death to get a feed." So when I got old enough to vote, I said, "Well, that's turned me around. I could have voted for him." I wouldn't vote for him because he snorted those pigs. And, in my younger days too, I was 16 years old. I didn't tell you that story either. I was 16 years old. And Jimmy Carroll, I went to the lab, doing this and doing that. And my cousin was with me. And first thing I looked over at her outfit, and the thermometer's going up. I said, "Let's get out of here." She says, "No, nothing could happen." So I said, "I run out." And by that, the windows blew out. And they wouldn't let me back in the lab anymore because I was in there in the room with her that I should have he got cut up with that. And, well, I said, the only thing I learned out of it is how to use chemicals and different things. So I went to experiment on this and that, and I made myself a hand soap and wash soap. And I called it the wash off. So all companies made soap, and they called it the wash off. And I put it in next to a township book for the copyright. I tried to get a patent for it, but they said there was no such a thing as a patent on soap. But they gave me a copyright for my name.
Yeah.
So what had happened, all start making soap, and they call it the wash off. So I wrote them a letter and I said they mentioned on my patent. So all they did is called it off. So I said nothing about it.
Yeah.
I still got my papers to prove it.
Yeah.
Still got my papers to prove it that I made. I was 16 years old when I did that. And that's what I made a living on. Anytime I wanted to go someplace, take a couple down, throw them in the car, and Reeds and Carlton was my biggest buyer in the garage there. We'd buy a gallon a week from the wash their hands up. So one thing led to another. That's why I said today, the young feller today, if they left him, leave him go what he knows how to do best and give him the money to go ahead and do things, why, it could be perfect on it. And today, I would tell nobody about doing it anymore, because every time I open my mouth to take somebody out of work. Now, anything else you want to know? What else would we talk about? I could talk to you all night on different things. How many houses did I help to build?
Yeah, how many houses did you help to build?
Five.
Five?
Yeah. Every time I want a new house, I build her a new house.
How many houses did you
have? Huh?
How much she wanted?
Well, tell you what. How it was, I built myself a new house. Somebody come along, offered me more money than I figured it's worth. And the guy wanted to get in right away. We pick up some old house, and my wife says, oh yeah, she'd like that. And we was there for a year or so. Every 2 years, me and my first wife would move. Even if it is only from one, from the old house to the new house. That gives you a good experience. That's why I said, when you make something, make sure that you got your name plate on it, and I could tell young fellas a lot of things.
Did you just build houses or anything else? Did you just,
well,
any other building?
I put a lot of stuff together. When I was young, I was a mechanic in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I got my first set of tools from Sears and Roebuck. Yes, I bought it when I was 16 years old, and I was a mechanic in the neighborhood. Because I was the only one who could work on a car, had the tools to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
I still got my first set of tools yet today, because when I break a wrench associated with it, replaces it,
yeah,
free of charge.
So you didn't build any other buildings?
Just milk houses, I built 15 of them. When my brother went from tanks, from cans to tanks. So they had a built new milk house, bigger, in order to get a tank in there to cool their milk.
Mm-hmm.
I built 15 of them altogether. Had 10 cents a block. I could light 150 blocks by myself a day and make some more money. So I thought that was big money years ago.
Yeah.